In all the previous cases that I've been involved with, where the situation is like this here, it's always been a recovery. It's never been a...
Please, God. Please, God.
A happy ending.
Bring her home.
You will start to question whether a memory is real or false only when that element of memory or that...
Why did his father leave him in a ditch in the middle of nowhere, then lie about it and disappear?
From eye scrapings and evasive nose probings to incisions in the skin, John of God has performed countless unlicensed surgical procedures, seemingly with no anesthesia, on enraptured followers.
Welcome back to another episode of Seven Deadly Sinners. But let's get into it, because I trust you guys. Scout's honor. So, have you ever taken a moment to appreciate how serene and graceful a swan looks gliding through the water? How endearing it is that they carry their babies on their backs. They live for their families. They travel together. Do you know they believe in soulmates similarly to penguins and stay with their partner until they die? And they can live for decades. I find it fascinating. But don't cross a swan. Have you ever seen them fight? Oh, they'll cut a bitch. They can be aggressive and cunning, and they go for the jugular, literally. They'll use their beaks to bite down on the necks of other swan aggressors to assert their dominance. They'll go after humans or other animals if they feel their territory is threatened and can break bones with the force of their wings. They can be as lethal as they are loyal. You don't want to experience their wrath. So don't cross a swan, black, white, teal, or otherwise. This is part one on Teal Swan. So who is Teal Swan? Is she the beautiful being behind her brand? Or has she transcended that to become the brand itself? Or is she a culmination and merger of both thanks to the devout nature of her hundreds of thousands of followers across various social media platforms and the world? Or is she a con? Teal Swan is not only a huge YouTube sensation with nearly 100,000 active subscribers and millions upon millions of views, but is also an author, lifestyle guru, spiritual guide, teacher, self-proclaimed clairvoyant, counselor, international speaker, and in her words, a survivor. She has dubbed the term spiritual catalyst. Some call her a suicide catalyst, which we will delve into in the next episode. I would like to stress what Teal Swan isn't. She isn't a trained mental health professional or any type of licensed therapist. She is not a fitness or financial expert. She didn't go to seminary. I'm not sure if she can even make a proper cappuccino. And yet her followers seek advice from her on everything from weight loss, Bitcoin, depression, and suicidal thoughts on her YouTube show, Ask Teal. It seems they think she has all the answers and can do no wrong. They will defend her for anything and everything. Seems a bit dangerous to me to go to one person for advice on any and all subjects, but I'm not the one claiming to be an expert here. This subject matter is so vast, I'm not even entirely sure where we are headed. The deeper I dig, the more I uncover. Even today, I thought I was done writing and listened to a couple more YouTube videos and went down a couple more rabbit holes. There are just so many twists and turns, it's wild. So are you ready? Get your seatbelt on. Keep your arms and legs in the vehicle, and let's take a deep dive into these dark, murky waters. A swan dive, perhaps. Sorry, I just couldn't help myself. Also, trigger warning. These episodes will deal with topics ranging from suicide to self-harm, satanic rituals, and sexual abuse. Please take care when listening. To understand the Teal Swan of today, we need you to understand who Teal Swan was in her youth. We need to see beyond the flowing long dresses she wears, to her workshops, the charisma that draws her followers in, the high cheekbones and the light-colored eyes that stare straight into your soul, and the soothing, hypnotic voice. Teal Swan was born Mary Teal Bosworth on June 16, 1984, in Logan, Utah, to parents Bobby and Jordan Bosworth. She lived in Logan with her parents, who led a hippie lifestyle at the time of her birth, and brother, Sky. From a young age, she knew she was different from other kids. She was sensitive, perceptive, and raised in a home that viewed life through a scientific lens, shunning her natural bend toward mysticism and the supernatural. Teal's senses, though, were heightened beyond the five that you or I have, or so she claims. Her abilities allowed her to see auras and other entities and observe those souls who were no longer with us. In her own words, she could see sounds and hear colors. In her documentary, Open Shadow, she stated she was born with the extrasensory abilities like, quote, clairsentience, clairaudience, claircognizance, and clairvoyance. Much like her parents, I don't know what half of that means. It doesn't seem as though her parents wanted to help cultivate these traits in her. They had no idea what they were dealing with. They sought the help of many psychologists and medical professionals and experimented with many medications when she was young. In a quote from the documentary Open Shadow, Teal says this.
I was born with clairsentience, clairaudience, claircognizance, and clairvoyance. When I was a small child, this was pretty disturbing to parents that didn't understand what those kinds of abilities were like, what they meant, whether it was an illness or a gift. They were struggling to understand what was going on with me and struggling to find somebody who knew how to help them with whatever was going on.
At the age of four, Teal was moved to a geographically isolating location after her parents received a job offer to serve as forest rangers on the border of Idaho and Utah. The community they moved to? Mormon. I can't imagine what that would have been like for her at that age, trying to grapple with these gifts while attending a school in such a traditional religious community. The kids and community as a whole started to see the little girl as odd. She was bullied. There's an example of her first day at school, where she was transmitted a message to her teacher from the teacher's dead father. Yikes. I can't imagine news of that went well over there in that audience, considering supernatural forces within the community were only transmitted through men. Women with such abilities were seen as demonic, and naturally, Teal was expelled from the community, further isolating her and her family. She couldn't play with other kids her age. Her parents couldn't have any sort of social life. She explained her view of the world in an interview on Park City Television in 2001.
But how do you see things? Or you know, can you explain how you see things differently than the rest of us?
From what I've gathered, a lot of people see negative space between objects. I don't see air as negative space. It all looks like energy fields that are running into each other. So to me, from my perception, I'm breathing in your energy right now and vice versa. Same with the couch. And basically, there's no definitive line where one thing starts and the other ends. And I also see many more entities in the room than however many I assume that you perceive. And colors. I see colors around people. It would be the human electromagnetic field.
And is this something you see all the time? I mean, is this something that gets confusing as you as you try to make your way through through the world? You know that you're seeing lots of different things sort of in front of you.
I'm used to it, so I'm pretty sure if somebody stepped into the way that I see the world, it would be pretty confusing. But having grown up this way, it's sort of normal.
This isolation was debilitating to Teal as a child, as it would be to any kid. But she didn't deal with it in a healthy way. Trigger warning. She attempted suicide several times. I'm sure this demise was heartbreaking for her parents to watch.
I think she was not as smiley a baby as a lot of babies. She seemed to be more pensive. You know, we were not knowing that she has much more heightened sensitivities than most people. We were
always kind of a little behind the ball. And that's when we started taking her to psychiatrists, psychologists, say, okay, what's going on here?
Hey, I have to step in there because I don't think we were behind the ball at all. I mean, I think we tried pretty hard to do our homework.
Right.
Both as
but it was it was confusing.
Oh, incredibly confusing. And the trouble was that nobody in our generation that we ran into had any ideas.
Yeah, well, they had a million ideas, and that was super confusing. You hear you're too lenient, you're too strict, you're too,
right.
You know, it's just, as parents, we were just like, because she was not particularly happy, especially when we got up into teenage years, and we had no idea that anything else was going on that would hurt her.
And so, with nowhere else to turn, Teal's parents turned to a family friend, a veterinarian, who said he was more than happy to take Teal under his wing and mentor her. He would teach her techniques about quantum healing and quantum physics, how to heal things with energy. Ultimately, as much as he would teach her about the animals that she loved, he would teach her about human behavior and how energy affected people. Teal's parents agreed. Perhaps blissfully unaware, the man suffered from multiple personality disorder and psychopathy, according to Teal. The man allegedly pulled her into this world of religious cults, mind control, and ketamine. He threatened to kill her family if she told anyone about their inappropriate relationship and told the young girl crazy lies, that he was her real father and that she was a demon, his portal to another universe. She believed him. She was young and naive. In her book, Shadows Before Dawn, Teal describes some of the abuse she endured. Quote, "To spare you the graphic details, from age 6 to 19, I was tortured physically and sexually in cult rituals. I was raped, deprived of food, and forced to undergo 3 abortions, all fathered and aborted by Doc himself. I was photographed for sadomasochistic pornography, sold to men for sex, outdoor gas station bathrooms, kept in basements in a hole in the ground in Doc's backyard. I was exposed to electroshock programming, forced to undergo isolation torture, and left overnight tied up in lava caves in southern Idaho. I was drugged chronically by Doc with anesthetics, all of which he had unlimited access to due to being in the vet trade. I was chased through the Idaho and Utah wilderness by Doc playing tracking games in which he would hunt me. And I would undergo consequences like having my rib cage cut or being raped if I was caught. And I was used as a lure to other children that ended up being hurt and on occasion killed." End quote. Teal has not released Doc's name publicly, but it is floating around online. And for his safety, I'm choosing not to repeat it here. This was during the Satanic Panic that has been largely proven to be pretty false, even though there are some cases. And I know with the Franklin scandal, well, I kind of took the satanic part of it out of it, but I don't know what's happening here. But the best thing to do is believe her. At one point in Teal's documentary, she pulls out an old box of journals from her childhood, many pages written in a sort of hieroglyphic code that she invented as a child to write about the abuse she endured. She leafed through a few chicken scratch pages and found a poem she wrote that really broke my heart.
I wrote as an 8-year-old child and not put 2 and 2 together. There's no sweet faces anymore. It's titled A Child's Nightmare. There's no sweet faces anymore, only hitting, slapping, and screaming, the dreams of unknown, fear. Why are you doing this? Humans are the only ones that do this. You take your feelings out on the only innocent ones, the frightened children, scared to fight back, and even ask why. Why must I ask this question? I don't need much, if only you took the time to care. You don't see what you are doing. Child abuse. Crazy work.
It was during these years of alleged abuse that she became heavily addicted to cutting herself. She would wipe the blood in the pages of her journals, it's really sad, which she shows the camera. It's a bit stomach-churning to see. Eventually, she covered over her major scars with tattoos so she could take control of her body again. For 13 years, she said she lived a life going between her parents during the week and the man that claimed to be her father on the weekends, who would force her to participate in the cult rituals. Her only respite during her traumatic childhood was a trip to a facility in China outside of Beijing after a suicide attempt. Psychologists and Western medications hadn't been able to help her, so her mother decided to give Eastern medicine a try. The facility was well known for their ability to help treat young cancer patients and other life-threatening illnesses. But when they heard Teal had attempted to take her own life, they admitted her and helped her to hone in on her spiritual abilities, something that possibly lended itself to her spiritual journey later in life. Teal returned to Logan and the alleged abuse resumed. She tried to hang herself at the age of 18 and befriended a boy named Blake Dyer. Eventually, at age 19, Blake helped her to escape her life and start over, keeping her safe at his home and, quote, hidden from her old reality. She explains this in an interview with Park City TV back in 2001 while promoting one of her books.
You grew up in an abusive household, and
my household was pretty gentle, but what happened was I grew up in a town, a very small town, that was predominantly LDS, but there was a cult that was in that town called the Blood Covenant, and they believe that it's their job to rid the earth of evil. And being sort of an offshoot of the LDS religion, they think that priesthood comes directly from Joseph Smith to men. So if a woman is exhibiting the kind of extrasensory abilities that I was, then it means it's a gift of the devil. But they think it's their job, essentially, to brutalize it out of you. So I was tortured for 13 years.
And how were you eventually able to get, you know, away from that? You mentioned, you know, 5 years of therapy, but yes. I imagine there's probably some more to it than that.
Yes. Well, without getting into serious details, because it's an incredibly gruesome story, basically I had met this very sweet boy from Park City, and he started hearing a little bit about the stuff I was going through, and he suggested just to stay at his house. And I realize this will come as a shock to most people, but it had not occurred to me until that moment that I could, you know, not go back home. So I just didn't. He hid me in his basement, essentially, in his basement apartment for the last 5 years, and I just didn't go back. So that was that in combination with a major mistake on the man's part. I'll call him Mr. X, the one who pulled me into the cult, essentially made a very big mistake one day programming me at 19.
Well, I should be more, I'm confused. But I'm also confused why, babies are allowed everywhere, but I don't know if you heard the baby crying in the background of the live interview. I haven't all of a sudden become pregnant and had a child, by the way. That wasn't the background of my house. anyways, it's a lot to take in, but so we're going to end this episode in just a second, because once Teal moves in with Blake, things start to get really interesting. And that is where we will leave this young swan for now, fleeing certain perils in the water and swimming as frantically as she can toward the riverbank, where she hopes to find peace from her aggressors, at least for now. This week, we will pick up with a young Teal Swan, seeking shelter with her new boyfriend, Blake Dyer. After having escaped her life of alleged satanic and ritual abuse at the hands of a family friend, a veterinarian she called Doc. And if you haven't had a chance to listen to the previous episode, I highly suggest you do so before continuing on this journey. So, Teal also seeks shelter with someone who would seem very safe to all of us, a therapist, and a famous one at that, in the Utah community, for perhaps, maybe infamous is a better word to describe her. You see, Teal begins to see psychotherapist Barbara Snow, who honestly might be worth her own entire episode. She is so controversial in her own right for practicing, quote, recovered memory techniques that even caught the eye of the United States government for allegedly imposing fake memories on her subjects, such as convincing a male relative that he was sexually abused by his father, or in another case, memories about being sexually abused and being the subject of military testing. I'll let that sink in for a moment, but she has some famous cases of implanting memories in people. Also, do I even need to mention that practicing therapy on family members is taboo in its own right? When state investigators questioned Snow, according to the Salt Lake Tribune, she allegedly provided them with made-up notes about those sessions. She even went to a client's house and used a baseball bat to destroy computer evidence. Yikes. Also, I don't think that really destroys it. I think there's like memory cards in there, but maybe it's older computers, I don't know. Anyways, Snow agreed to go on probation and the government dropped the allegations. Yeah, I can't make this stuff up. And let me stress, she's still practicing in Utah today. She has a website boasting her 35 years of experience treating sexual abuse, trauma, anxiety, depression, and dissociative disorders. So, Teal starts seeing Barbara Snow in the early 2000s, and Snow begins to uncover some of her horrific, suppressed memories of satanic and ritual abuse. Snow encouraged Teal to file a police report, as is required by law with any discussion of a crime during therapy, with the North Park Police Department and Cache County Attorney's Office in 2005, and also called the police on Teal's behalf. Police interviewed Teal with Snow present, and Teal described her memories of the various types of abuse she endured, as well as her abuser, seeing her as a, quote, portal to another universe. According to the police report, because of the level of detail given by Teal, the police believed some sort of abuse did occur in Teal's life, though it's not clear by whom. She tells them she doesn't want to testify against Doc in fear of retribution, so the police don't pursue it. 1 year later, Teal reaches out to the police again after having changed her mind and wishes to pursue legal action. After performing a medical examination, police found no evidence of ritual abuse, though that doesn't mean Teal wasn't a victim of other types of abuse. She turned over her middle school diaries and police didn't find any references of abuse. The police then look into Snow's background and determine the case should not be prosecuted because of the therapist's shady past and involvement in this case. This case is currently listed as inactive. Accounts of ritualistic and satanic abuse are nothing new in this region of the country. Rumors and allegations have been rampant in the area, especially during the 1980s Satanic Panic phenomenon, which our own Barbara Snow played a huge role in. Most of the 12,000 claims of satanic ritual abuse during that time period across the country were never proven, but some strange things have been discovered since, like a Santeria shrine in Ogden, Utah, that held the remains of sacrificed animals and two human skulls whose origins have not been determined. And I also think that because of the Satanic Panic, people that maybe thought it was cool then did kind of latch onto it and were like, I'm a Satanist and I, or were performing satanic rituals. I do think there was not truth to like the really big allegations of like the McMartin preschool, but like some truth, because we did that episode first season of Hosanna Church where there's documented evidence. And I even interviewed a kid that grew up in the town at that time. And he had occurrences where he stumbled across like animals hanging from the trees, guys in like cloaks and things. So I don't think it's completely impossible. I do think Teal Swan's claims are extremely wild. We talked about that in the first episode. But overall, it was a satanic panic and really wasn't that far proven, but you get the point. For now, Teal Swan's abuse claims are simply that, claims. No crimes have been proven and no cases brought to trial. She told reporter Charles McCollum of the Herald Journal that it was, quote, never my intention to go on record as desperate to spill the beans or expose horrendous activities going on in Utah, she said. Quote, my intention was to use the story of the truth of my life to show people that there is nothing that can be done to them that will render them unable to find health and happiness and success, end quote. Her alleged abuser, Doc, gave an unprecedented interview to bloggers John Anderson and Carmen Clark back in 2015 in an interview they titled The Complete Interview of Teal Swan's Alleged Childhood Abuser, which they aptly published on Halloween. They did an incredible job of not only finding the man, but publishing a letter she had mailed to him in 2004. And after watching her documentary and seeing her very unique handwriting in her journals, I'm certain the letter is hers. She would have been nearly 20 at the time the letter was written. After the time that she would have moved in with Blake, it was written. In the letter, she describes having just posed for Playboy. I can find no evidence of this. She talks about, quote, deciding whether to commit to life or not. A very important phrase I ask you to remember for our next episode. She also tells Doc, you helped me realize something. I am an unhealed healer. I heal by healing others. I've gotten stronger, therefore more tortured. There are no mentions in the letter of abuse. It rambles on for 6 pages, and she makes some claims about training for the 2010 ski team, and she talks at length about animals. She ends the letter telling him that she loves him very much before leaving all of her contact information. I highly recommend reading this letter and the interviews in their entirety. It is fascinating to hear Doc's perspective and concern for Teal's mental health and erratic behavior in her youth. He truly believed she suffered from mental illness. So this all begs so many questions, but what do you think? The memories Teal has of her childhood, are they all recovered memories that Barbara Snow helped her to search for? Or do you think Barbara Snow planted these images into Teal's brain? Do you think they really are memories that she suppressed deep in the recesses of her mind? Are they memories at all, or are they false memories? Or does Teal suffer from untreated mental illness? Is she a victim of Barbara Snow? Or is she a victim of such horrific abuse at the hands of a man her parents trusted? Do you think it's possible Teal did survive the most brutal, horrific childhood imaginable? As far as false memories are concerned, Teal herself gave her thoughts on the subject in her Ask Teal YouTube series after an outcry from viewers, much to her own chagrin. Here's a clip from that.
So I want to prepare you for that before we dive even deeper into it. We cannot deny the existence of suppressed and repressed memory. It is absolutely a reality. What's frustrating is that we also cannot deny the reality of false memory. It does occur. I have seen, personally in my own life, recovered memory completely heal people and completely destroy people. I have seen recovered memory heal families and destroy families. I have seen it make careers and destroy careers. And before I continue, I'd also like to say, may God have mercy on the life of any person who decides that regression therapy is their life calling. People like myself. Why? Because you, like me, will find yourself crucified on the cross of people who would love to tell you that you are creating or implanting false memory because they do not want to face up to the reality of what occurred. If suppressed memory that is recovered conflicts with anyone's sense of identity, personal narrative, or current reality, you will find yourself fighting with ego to the death. It is common they will turn against you, accusing you of leading or implanting false memory instead of taking responsibility for the content of their own mind. It is also common their entire family and even friends will do so as well. It will turn into a witch hunt riding on the back of a conflict over a sense of reality.
It's just like talking in circles. Anyways. Yet Teal becomes so obsessed with the idea of repressed memories that when her adult friend, so not a childhood friend, an adult friend that she met later in life, is interviewed on a brilliant podcast by Jennings Brown called The Gateway, who it's completely all about Teal Swan. He even like goes to one of her retreats and he gets to interview her. She's extremely smug towards him. but he gets to interview one of her friends who tells a story of Teal being like, hey, do you remember when we were kids and you were also satanically ritually abused or whatever? And the girl's like, no, not at all. Like, I had a pretty good childhood. And Teal's like, but you were. You're just suppressing your trauma. She's like literally trying to force the girl to relive something that did not happen to her. And the girl like stands her ground. She's just kind of like, no, Teal, that didn't happen. This is weird. So that's just a good example of like, what the hell is going on here? So this opens up a whole different can of worms because Teal is so taken by this type of therapy that she incorporates it into her own version called the completion process that also combines with Carl Jung's shadow work approach. This term describes the unconscious parts of the personality that our conscious ego doesn't want to identify in itself. In its most basic form, the process involves a person reenacting a moment from their childhood to uncover the root of their current pain to resolve it. But she uses buzzwords like inner child work and disassociation and trauma, claiming she knows her followers better than they know themselves, and she can see into their pasts. And remember, she's not a licensed clinical therapist. However, at her meetups or conventions or whatever they are where people are paying hundreds of dollars to just have her smugly look at them and be like, I know what you've been through. You don't really know yourself as good as I know you. I mean, the confidence that she's got, it's unreal, truly. It's amazing to me that someone without an actual like licensed medical degree or whatever can just be like, here's my new thesis. It's called the completion process, and I'm going to teach you something I know absolutely freaking nothing about. It's just the balls on these people. Okay, so here's the clip.
I designed and used this process on myself to heal from 13 years
of
acute ritual trauma.
Oh, God.
When I got away from my childhood situation, I was literally a shell of a human being. I was suffering from dissociative seizures, from multiple personalities. I had the full range of post-traumatic stress disorder, and it was complex PTSD, which involves developmental trauma. It used to be that people who had complex post-traumatic stress disorder were just going to live lives that were just so good. The attitude was like, okay, because there's actual damage that's been done to the development of this person, there's only so much we can do with that. And that never worked for me. I have managed to accomplish a kind of recovery which you don't see. People like me are so rare walking the planet after going through that kind of damage in a space of integration. And the reason I am in this space is because of this process. I want to personally thank you for taking your own healing into your hands by trying out this process.
Wait, you want to thank them for taking the healing into their own hands or for paying for your made-up process? Anywho, she's at least humble though, right? So what happens though when those struggling with deep depression and suicidal thoughts seek help from someone like Teal instead of seeking it in a professional setting? I find it extremely dangerous, but I don't know, can it help? Or does it cause more harm than good? Several of Teal's faithful followers have paid the ultimate price, taking their own lives. At least one of them, after Teal helped them to uncover supposed repressed memories of abuse in their childhood. Teal has given some very controversial opinions regarding suicide over the years. This is probably the most controversial part about her that we're going to cover in parts 3 and 4. And surprisingly, there is still audio and video available of these statements. She tried to kind of retract and kind of explain it away, but really she just kind of defended herself. But we're going to swan dive into all of that next week. Until then, be mindful of the swans.